Welcome to the GeoMob Podcast, where we discuss geo-innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit.
Hey, welcome back to another GeoMob Podcast. This is a rather special episode because I'm going to be the interviewee, not the interviewer. And I'm absolutely delighted to welcome and announce that Denise McKenzie is joining us as one of the co-hosts of the podcast. Now, normally I jump in here and give some kind of a biography, and I tell you that Denise is a globally recognized leader at the intersection of digital geography and tech policy, whatever that means. She's managing partner at the Place Trust. She's worked across government and non-profits, and I could keep on talking about the wonderful work that Denise does. But actually, screw that. Denise is family. She's one of a very small group of people in geo which epitomise why I love this industry so much and why lots of other people do, because it becomes more than just a job. It becomes a place where you meet friends, you make connections, and there's a small group of us that are as close as family as it is possible to get without having a blood relationship. So if I call Denise my little sister, that is a much more accurate description of, and when I say little, I mean she's a bit younger than me. She's not that little. But it's a much more accurate description of my relationship with Denise. You know, she is one of my closest friends in geo, and it's just fantastic that we've got you on the podcast, Denise. So now, the listeners can't see this, but I'm handing the microphone to you because this is your podcast. This is your first podcast as a host of the GeoMob podcast. So it's welcome to the podcast, Denise, and over to you.
Amazing. And thank you, Stephen. That's such a humbling introduction there too. And I would echo every part of that. We really do have an amazing family of friends. And also I'd say thank you for the invitation to participate in this. I'm a longtime listener of GeoMob. I've loved so many of the interviews, and I think it's been such an incredible voice for our sector, and it has really given rise to a lot of issues and a lot of incredible stories that we've been able to elevate out of it. So I'm feeling very excited to join the team and add more and contribute and help it grow in that sense as well. So where should we start? Shall I introduce myself a little bit for those that don't know me really well?
Go for it.
So I guess career to date, I'm probably one of those people who my career has reflected our geospatial sector as a whole, which means it's changed a lot from when I started. When I started in this, I sort of fell into geo and I had to have someone give me a definition as to what geospatial actually meant at the very beginning. And I've gone from that fall into falling in love with it, falling in love with its capacity, falling in love with its ability to change the world, but always falling in love, I think, with the promise of what more it can do as well in there too. So I quickly really realized kind of how important this data actually is to the world. But as my career has morphed from being in Australia through a standards organization, through the pandemic in here too, I've also realized that not everybody gets to have access to this. Not everybody gets to make benefit out of it as well. And so my career has morphed more recently into really looking at the aspects of how do we make this more equitable? How do we get more people to be able to fall in love with geospatial, to use it, to get the data that they need to help solve the biggest world's challenges? And that's what led me to places like Place Trust. It's what led me to being the author of something called the Locust Charter, looking at ethical and digital practice in our space too. And I think that's one of the things that led me to saying yes when you asked me to get on the podcast. Because I think telling the stories of what we do in our geospatial sector and telling the story and elevating the amazing work that happens is such a privilege. And it's so necessary for us as a sector to be able to keep on expanding the capability and the potential of what we can do with our geospatial work. So that's a little bit of background. And if And if you want the big grand detail, there'll be a link to the LinkedIn bio that you can read the tome of details.
I just want to say that in some parts of the world, diversity, equity, and inclusion are considered a bad thing, certainly in the geomob part of the world. And I think in the geospatial world generally, DEI is something that we not only believe in, but that we practice to the best of our ability. That doesn't mean we always get it right, and we might talk about that in a few minutes. But I do think, you know, when you started saying that, I was thinking, DEI, you know, that's exactly what we strive for in this community. And so welcome, Denise.
And I would agree. And I think that, you know, going back to those stories, so many of those really incredible stories from our sector are a direct result of diversity. It's so often because of different perspectives that have come together around the world, or, you know, people from many, many different countries that have a common thread of challenge, whether that's water scarcity, whether that is environmental management, whether that's insurance aspects. And so in order to get the best result, I think you often need diversity to really make that happen.
Yeah.
But let's get into interviewing Stephen here. And this is where it's quite fun when you get to turn the tables or the microphone, so to speak, on the person who's usually asking the questions.
Yeah.
What I wanted to start with, though, is number one, congratulations on passing the 300 episodes of GeoMob Podcast. That's a huge, huge achievement to get to that stage. I'd love you to kind of reflect back on those 300, though, and think about the focus of the podcast and perhaps how that might have changed, perhaps from what you and Ed originally envisaged for the podcast. And some reflections, I guess, of your journey.
So the first thing to say is, if we didn't number the episodes for our administrative purposes, I don't think we'd have noticed this 300 number. Because you don't realise that you're doing this. You know, and it's a bit like that, how do you eat an elephant? You invite your friends round and you do it in little pieces, you know, and you know, you don't get to 300, you get to 10 and you get to 20 and then you get to 50, etc. So yes, it is. And then suddenly you look back and it's like 6 years of podcasting and you think, wow, that's a shitload of podcasting. How's it changed? I mean, well, Ed phoned me just at the beginning of 2020 and said he'd had this idea and he said, what do you think about doing a podcast? And I had no idea about how you did a podcast, but he'd worked this stuff out or sort of worked it out. And it turned out that we recorded our first couple of episodes ready to launch just before COVID. So, I mean, we launched in COVID when everybody wanted online stuff and it was great, you know. And at the time we sort of thought, well, occasionally we'll talk to each other and we'll talk about how his business has developed. We'll talk about my Mappery project, which had been launched the year before. And we'll interview some people who've been on in the GeoMob events, you know, and there are loads of people who've spoken at GeoMob events. So we thought we've got... And of course, it didn't work out anything like that. I mean, the first thing that we discovered was that it was a hell of a lot easier doing episodes between the two of us. And the feedback that we got was that people really liked, not that they don't like the other episodes, but they really like us talking to each other. And the fact that we're both quite frank about successes and crises in our projects is probably a good thing. But we also have different interests. I mean, Ed is a technical person who's turned into a business person. And who probably stumbled into Geo very much, not in the same way as me, but also stumbled into it. You know, he didn't start out with an abiding passion for Geo. You know, I'm about as technical as a screwdriver. And, you know, so my interest started out being business stuff, but I'm also just fascinated by maps, and I love maps, and I've just developed a complete passion for the history of maps and how people make them and what they do with them. So when we started out, I think I was doing the businessy interviews, asking people about their business models, which I've been doing at GeoMob for a decade now. And Ed was doing the more technical discussions with people, but gradually it's morphed. And he talks to people about business. I don't talk about technology, but I do get the privilege of talking to people about some pretty weird stuff, which the map connections are not the ones that you'd expect. I think it's evolved, and I think a while ago we both recognised that we were getting less and less technical. I mean, it doesn't do any technical stuff to speak of now, I don't think. You know, I mean, most of that's his partner and the other people on his team. So, we realised that we were getting out of touch with technology, and there was stuff that we didn't really understand, and particularly all the Earth observation stuff. And that's what prompted us when I picked up that Alistair, who had been podcasting as Seen From Above, that scene with a C in the middle of it. And Alistair was looking to get back into podcasting. And so I reached out to him and said, why don't you come and join us at the GeoMob podcast? And he did. And that's been amazing because he actually understands all this EO stuff and spectrums and things like that, which I certainly don't. And I don't think Ed does. You know, I'll say that for him. He could correct me afterwards. So that's what helped us to expand and to reach a group of people that we weren't going to reach and couldn't have interviewed. And now you're here, Denise.
So yeah. I'm curious as to how that came about. How do you go from kind of technical Ed, business model Stephen, Earth observations Alistair, to you need Denise McKenzie on the podcast? What was it you felt was missing, I guess, in what you were doing okay. So far?
Well, what I felt was missing was a woman. That sounds, and I've got to phrase this carefully because I've spoken to you for years and years now about the challenges of getting women to come to the GeoMob events and speak, the challenges of getting women to speak at open source conferences. You know, I mean, if you look in the developer community in open source, I guess 25-30% of the developers are women. You look at the lineup in a conference and you're struggling to see those numbers reflected. And, you know, we've talked about this and Ed and I have angst about this a lot. You know, I mean, we've been given some, I think, somewhat unfair criticism about the lack of women speakers at the events and on the podcast. And I say unfair because the suggestion is that somehow sort of the patriarchy, the white male envelope prevents women from speaking. And that's not been the case, as you know. But one of the things we do realise, or I certainly realise, and Ed, I think, agrees with me, is that for some people, the first time you're interviewed on a podcast is quite intimidating. And if you're a younger woman being interviewed by an older man, if you're a younger woman from the global south being interviewed by a successful older white entrepreneur from the north, there's quite a gap between you and the person that you're talking to, and it may feel like you may feel that you're not ready. And what we're hoping is that, one, with your contacts further afield, you know, with some of the people who are doing really interesting things that we want to hear about, but also with the fact that you've been a leading advocate for women in geospatial for, I guess, a decade now.
Probably longer, actually.
Yeah. So, you know, some of the women who may have been uncertain about coming on the podcast to be interviewed by Ed or Stephen might feel more comfortable being interviewed by you. And that doesn't mean that, I mean, from our point of view, that was what was missing from the podcast, the voices of women. So we hope that you will help us to fix that. But I also hope that you help Ed and me to get those interviews, and that you're not restricted to being the girl who interviews the girls, right? I mean, because that's not what we want, right? But we do want that influence, and we do hope that that will work. So for all the people who are listening to me babble on, right, who wouldn't come on the podcast or were reluctant to stand up and be interviewed or present at GeoMob, now you've got the chance to be interviewed by Denise, and I can't think of anybody better to be interviewed by.
Ah, oh, that's lovely. Well, and look, I know how hard you and Ed have actually worked to try and get women on the podcast. I've had many conversations with both of you over the years with GeoMob, looking at the events in person as well as the podcast to try and do that. It's a challenge. You know, I'm still surprised 25 years into my career in this sector that actually there isn't a greater representation. But what I've learned, and I remember there was an amazing light bulb moment, and it came about while I was in Tanzania at the Phosphor G down there a few years ago. And myself and Rebecca Firth were running a diversity, equity, and inclusion session. And I was working for OGC at the time. And we were talking about, you know, how do we address this situation? How do we improve it? How do we get more women? And I had this young lady sort of turn around to me, and she's like, "There are so few of you, Denise, that have the role that's visible in the OGC. We need you to be a louder voice. We need women like you to make it look like we can do it as well." And that's what I kind of realized has been missing. It's a hard thing to get the women into those roles. But once we are there, we have a really critical role, not just to give the shoulder, like, but you do need to give a shoulder for those other women to stand on in there, but to be a great, just brilliant representation of a woman in the sector so that other women feel comfortable, as you say, to get on a podcast. So what I would say to everyone out there that is thinking about, oh, could I be interviewed? Could I do a presentation at GeoMob? This is also an invitation to you to get in contact with me or with Stephen, because I think one of the things we'd always be happy to do is to offer you guidance or mentoring or support to feel comfortable that you can get up on stage and give that presentation or come on the podcast and be interviewed. So I think sometimes just knowing you can reach out to people that are willing to give you that help is also really important that we can do there. So thinking then about the 300, we've talked about how it's evolved, Stephen. We've talked about the topics and so forth that you've talked about there. What advice would you give to somebody who is thinking about getting into the podcast space or doing interview? What have you learned?
Okay, so what have I learned? First of all, I've learned it's a hell of a lot easier than you think. The technology is almost perfect. I'm not saying we don't have problems, but it's really easy. But if you're going to get to 300 episodes, you either need an enormous amount of stamina, you need to be earning a phenomenal amount of money for doing it, or you need to make it simple, right? And in our case, we don't earn any money. You know, matter of policy, there are no adverts, there's nothing. We've experimented with sponsoring, and if there's anybody out there who wants to sponsor a series of podcasts, you're welcome to contact us and we'll talk you through what's involved and what we can do for you. But we're not actively canvassing for sponsorship. We haven't got anybody sort of reaching out to people for sponsorship. This is done for fun. And so my advice to people is keep it simple. Make sure that you're enjoying it, because if you're not enjoying it, why on earth would you do it? And the other thing I say is don't stress about numbers. I mean, we don't advertise or publish or talk about how many people are listening to the podcast. We've got an idea of it. We don't stress about it. If it goes up, if it goes down, it doesn't matter. The people who are listening enjoy it and tell us that. And we're not trying to get to 50,000 listeners, a million listeners, any of those numbers. We don't care about the numbers. But the most important thing, and it's sort of why you're here now, Denise, is get a partner. Do not go into podcasting solo. It is, I mean, yeah, if you want to make a profession out of it and you've got the profile and everything, it's a different thing. But for people like us who are doing this for fun and out of a passion for a subject, get a partner. Because when you've got a partner, a problem shared is not a problem halved, it's a problem decimated. A problem that you carry on your own shoulders is magnified. Having partners makes it much, much easier. And, you know, when Ed and I invited Alistair to join us, it was like a big sigh of relief, because it meant that there were three of us having to produce 4 episodes a month. With you joining us, I know you may not do an episode a month, but it further reduces the workload. What that means is you don't stress about who am I going to interview next? What are we going to talk about? You know, you don't have to chase every possible lead. You can be a bit more choosy. So, I mean, that would be my advice. Keep it simple, keep it fun, and get a partner.
And I would say that that's a large reason why I said yes. I've had various people over my career suggest that I should go into doing podcasting and interviewing. But I think I was always quite daunted by the idea of sort of that expectation and it being only me all the time. So the idea that I was stepping into a team that already was working well together, that was already supporting each other, just made that decision so much easier to be part of.
And, you know, you talked about 300 episodes and I said don't stress about the numbers. But I think an indication of the success of the GeoMod podcast has been not just the people that we've had come on the podcast, but the fact that in 6 years now, almost nobody that I've approached has ever said no. And we've surprised ourselves. You know, we've had some fairly senior figures in the industry. I'm not going to list names because then I'll miss somebody out. But we've had some cracking interviews with people, you know, of very high stature in the industry. And they're still happy to come on the podcast, right? Because they know we reach this special group of people who are technical, passionate, business orientated, people working in geospatial here in the UK, in North America, in Australia. You know, you look at the maps and you see where they're coming from. And that's a real sort of statement of what we have achieved in the podcast, which I think we can all be very proud of. And yeah, I can only imagine the successes we're going to have, Denise, now that you've come on board.
Oh, bit of expectation there being put on the table, Stephen.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit of pressure.
I'm going to add a cheeky addition question that wasn't on your question sheet.
Okay.
Any standout mistakes that you've had over the 300 episodes that you'd be willing to share? Any ones where you just kind of went, oh my goodness, that didn't go like I thought?
Well, we've had some technical problems. I mean, the technical journey has been amazing. When we started, we were recording on Zoom. And you can record on Zoom and you can record the, you know, then you can download the audio and all of that. And I'm sure on at least one occasion, I started a podcast and realized halfway through that I hadn't pressed the record button, which is pretty bad. Yeah. So we've had a few other technical glitches, you know, and they come and go, and you have to, you just have to roll with that. We've never offered editorial rights to people we've interviewed. Not because we were, not because we didn't want to, but we just thought it was an unnecessary complication. And I've always said to people, don't worry, you can't say anything wrong. Nothing can go wrong. And on one occasion, I was interviewing somebody and they said something which seemed, I'm not going to say what it was because I don't want, because
I don't want to go back.
I don't
want
to go and create the same, make the same mistake again. It wasn't my mistake, this, by the way. They made a comment which sounded perfectly reasonable in the conversation, but afterwards, they realized that it could be very badly misinterpreted, and they were an organization that relied on funding, so they were a not-for-profit, and it was the kind of thing that could impact their funding. So they came back to me and they said, this really might cause us a problem, and so we edited it out. So, but, I mean, you know, that wasn't that terrible. One person, yeah, I'll say this. I was just pausing for a second. In my social media biography, as you know, I describe myself, amongst other things, as a proud Zionist, right? I'll say it here openly on the podcast, and we're not a political podcast. I make no apologies for that, and I'm sorry if that offends people, so be it. One of our interviewees, not with me, with one of the other hosts, looked up my social media profile after they'd recorded and wasn't certain whether they wanted to be associated with a podcast that was hosted by somebody who said that they were a Zionist. We had a conversation. I mean, I suggested, the feedback came to me and I suggested, well, let me talk to him. And we talked for about 20 minutes and he went away perfectly happy. I mean, I don't think he agreed with me, but he came to the conclusion, thankfully, that my views on world affairs really weren't relevant to the podcast that he had participated in, where he was talking to one of the other hosts. So, but that was a slightly unusual moment, and one that
I bet. But I think you know, we all come with our history, you know, and the parts of the world. I mean, I can still remember moving from Australia to the United Kingdom. And there was all sorts of strange phrases and things that I didn't understand, and ones that I would use that actually, interestingly here, there are certain terms people find a little bit offensive, but of course we use them in Australia completely differently in there. So it's always a cultural learning curve. But I think for me always, that actually brings a richness to the dialogue when you've got so many people of different backgrounds in the conversation.
So, I mean, I don't think... I mean, I'm trying to remember, I don't think we've had any real disasters, you know. I mean, we've had a few, that was a little bit edgy moment. But, you know, I think I always say when I'm starting a podcast, before we actually start recording, I always have a little chat with the person that I'm interviewing. And one of the things I say is you can't make any mistakes here. It's like we were sitting in a bar or a pub and... we were chatting about stuff that we were interested in. And it doesn't matter what you say, you know, and you can't make a mistake. And if you need to correct something, you know, that you said that you think, actually, that's not quite how I meant it to say, you just correct it. And in 300 episodes, we've been pretty good with that. So, yeah, the answer is nothing big.
Nothing big. So thinking about the next 300, have you got a couple of people that you'd love to interview that you haven't yet been able to interview?
Yes. Yes, there are a couple. I don't think it'd be a cool idea to sort of to call out on the podcast
those
now
names.
The names of people I want to interview. But yes, there are some people that I would like to interview.
That's good to hear.
I mean,
maybe we could say to those listeners, let us know too if you've got voices that you'd love to hear from that you'd like us to try and get in touch with for an interview. I think that's also, I mean, I've got my own list now that I'm hoping to add to our set of interviews and augment the podcast. But I think also whenever you're part of something like the GMR podcast, this is also about creating content that our listeners want to hear.
Yeah.
So that's always helpful to us as interviewers to know who the voices are that you'd like to be hearing from as well. So you'll be able to find me on my social media, whether that's LinkedIn or X or Blue Sky or Instagram or something like that. But I think I'd be really keen to hear who people would love to hear from these days.
And I think there's a part of the podcast that I would love to see grow, which is the bit that talks about the evangelists for GEO in government, in international NGOs and things like this. I mean, it's probably the area that I'm most attracted to now is, there's loads of people doing great things with businesses. There's great new companies starting. There's great new technologies. And we'll carry on talking to those people. But there are a group of people who probably weren't even about 10, 15 years ago when I started in GEO. Well, that was longer than 10 years ago. But, you know, there are people who are working in this space who are advocating for GEO and who don't even see this as their main job. It's a sort of GEO is what they need to get their jobs done. And I'd like to get to some of those people, I think, in the future.
They're those passion people that you talked about yourself being earlier as well. I think I would share that. I think this is one of those sectors that certainly when I was in high school, I just didn't even know. This wasn't a thing that existed in my mindset as a career that you could be working in. But certainly what I would say is over 25, 30 years now, so many of the people in Geospatial are passionate. They're so passionate about what they do and how it can help make the world a better place that makes them sort of infectious. I'm sure they're the dinner party guests that most people are like, I don't understand half of what you're talking about, but you seem really excited by it.
So I'm going to spring a question on you, Denise. My Ooh. Privilege. So just give the listeners the shape of the kind of people that you want to interview in the next year. I mean, don't call out names or jobs, but just give sort of a broad.
Well, so this is kind of fun. And if going back to something that Stephen said earlier about, you know, how my bio might describe me at that intersection. And I think where I sit normally in my career is I'm a GEO person. I love and I'm passionate about it, but I often sit at the edge. I sit at the edge of where our geospatial sector touches the much broader technology world and help to try and explain the importance of what this geospatial brings. So what I'm hoping to bring into the podcast is some people that are also on that edge, people who are perhaps users of geospatial, but their focus is so much more in a bigger, broader technology capacity. Certainly in the last couple of years working in place, I've met some incredible humanitarian, nonprofit and development sector people who are just honestly changing the world in what they're doing. And many of those are in what you might describe as the developing world or the global majority, depending on the term you want to use. And so I'm keen to bring that diversity of where geospatial is touching on the planet. So hopefully these will be some voices that people aren't super familiar with, but will become familiar with in there. But I think also I'd like to talk to some people who are tackling some of the big global challenges, not just technically or environmentally, but socially and politically, that are causing us problems, even in our sector. So, you know, thinking here, the sort of ethics conversation, the impact now of AI, our continued lack of access to good data that seems to happen all around the world, and some of the people who are being really creative about how to try and tackle those problems. Because I think also giving voice to some of those stories will become helpful to the rest of our geospatial sector too. It'll be important that they know that this other work is going on as well. So hopefully I can bring some of that to our to the podcast here.
And every few weeks, we all need a bit of inspiration. And it's from those sort of stories that we're going to get the inspiration. With respect to all the entrepreneurs, another tool set that does something brilliant is interesting. And if you can make money out of it, it's very interesting, but it's not inspirational. It doesn't fire up another generation of geographers to go and do the stuff that we do.
Yeah, that's it. But yes, I'm hoping I want to be inspiring. I think the world has got a lot of negative news and reason to not be so happy at the moment. I would love to be able to bring a bit of hope to everybody about what our geospatial world is going to keep on doing for everybody else on the planet in here as well. So I think that probably concludes my very first podcast. It is wonderful to be part of the team. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in today. Bear with me, obviously, in my first few as I get my feet settled into the team and doing interviewing. And a big thank you, Stephen, both for the invitation to be part of the team, but also for such a wonderful conversation today and joining GeoMob with us. Thank you very
Thank you. Welcome, Denise, and goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Thanks for joining us today on the GeoMob podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. And while you're there, you can sign up for our monthly newsletter and find links to our accounts on Mastodon and LinkedIn so that you can stay up to date on all our upcoming events. We hope to see you at an event soon.